So, again, my name is Colton Wansittler, and I'm the assistant director at the Writing Center at MSU, and I'm also a graduate student there as well.
Great. I'm Grace Pregent. I'm the interim director of the Writing Center at MSU while Trixie is on leave and sabbatical, and I'm also the PI on this research project with this team. And thank you, too. Just want to thank you, even as we're beginning, for sharing your time and your stories with us. To Nick, let's go over to you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Bonani, or Nick Bonani, and I am currently one of the graduate coordinators at the Writing Center, and I am a doctoral candidate in music, and I am the one who's been emailing you all kinds of stuff to try to get this organized, so I just wanted to thank you both for responding and being so willing to do this with us. It's a lot of fun. And I that the duo personality of the interview is helpful for both of you to bounce ideas off of and remember things. I know Mara Lee was the one who actually gave us your names and recommended both of you to be part of this project. So we'll be talking to her tomorrow.
Good evening, everybody, or good morning to you all if you're not in our time zone. I'm Sharika Botex. I'm really excited to do the interview with you all. I'm a PhD student in the Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures Department at MSU, and I'm a graduate writing coordinator and a graduate consultant in the Writing Center. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing about your time in the Writing Center and your experiences there, and hope to learn a lot from you today. So thanks for doing the interview with us.
Okay, Robin, you want to go first?
Oh, sure. So my name is Robin Tasaka, and I am currently the tutor coordinator at the University of Hawaii West Oahu. So our center, it's called the Noeau Center for Math, Writing, and Student Success, something like that. We always just say Noeau. But yeah, so we have writing tutoring as well as content area tutoring.
Okay, so my name is Scott Chu. I direct the Writing Center in my institution, California Lutheran University. And I'm also a faculty member at English Department. I just got my tenure last year. I just came back from my sabbatical. Yeah, excited about this opportunity to talk about the stories because MSU Writing Center had, you know, was life-changing experience to me and has continued to be a source of my, you know, inspiration and all this positive thinking and professionalization. Especially we, you know, working at the Writing Center, we continue to refer back to MSU and Trixie and those, you know, everything that you guys are doing there. And they're like, ah, oh, we should do that. But no, we are not MSU. Yeah, so I'm excited about this opportunity. Thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you both. So let's jump into the interview here. We're gonna start by collecting just context for both of you. So we'll start with the first question here, which is, when did you work at the center? So what years? And who was on the leadership team? So like the directors, associate directors, any fiscal officers, if you can recall, assistant, office assistants, or anything like that. And we can start with Scott. Is that okay?
Sure. I was going to say I was always go after Robin, but I guess I can start. So I joined MSU Writing Center at 2008, and I worked until 2010, I believe. I'm trying to remember the time because I finished my degree. I started a full-time position at RAC, first year writing program, immediately after I finished. So there was an overlapping time. So it's at the Writing Center as a graduate writing consultant, that was 2008 and 10. Trixie and Diana was the leadership. Trixie was director, Diana was associate director. I think the same year Diana started, yeah. I met her at the Summer Institute. That's how I got into the Writing Center. And the people there, you know, I was there with a group of, you know, very dynamic group. I mean, you know, the dynamic group continued for a couple of years, but when I started, when I met Merrily and I worked very closely with Merrily and Elena and Matt Cox, and we have this front desk. There was an old lady called Kathy. Kathy, is she still there? Kathy, an old lady. I actually became pretty good friend with her at front desk. And yeah, and then a bunch of undergraduate and consultant. I remember a few names. We remain our Facebook friends after years. Do you want me to name those people? I don't think I can. I have to go back to my Facebook page and to look at those contacts.
If you can, and later in the interview, we do ask if there's anyone else you think we should speak with as well. So
yeah, okay. I remember this kid, John Lochner. Is that right, John? He's at the Georgia Georgia University of Georgia, I believe. Anyway, a few other. It was very interesting group of people. I don't know how do we do it. I don't want to keep talking because it can go forever. Do I just answer one question and then Robin?
That sounds great. Yeah, and then Robin, same question to you. When did you work at the center, and who was on the leadership team or in the center? I'm curious to see if you know Kathy.
I do not remember Kathy, but my memory is also bad. I was like trying to remember names, and you know, certain people got married and changed their names too, so that's also a piece. But I think I was like 2007 to 2009, so yeah, I also worked with Trixie and with Diana, but then I was also there before Trixie came when we had Dave Sheridan. Mm-hmm. And then Stephanie Sheffield was a grad student, and she was like the assistant director or something. I don't know, whatever the title was. So that's what I remember about leadership and my dates.
Scott, if it makes you feel any better, I briefly remember Kathy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So
I wonder if she's still alive, you know. But she was old. All right, should we answer the next question, like where, what the location and everything?
Absolutely. So
okay.
While you were working, where were center locations on campus? And if you do recall the spaces at all, if you can describe them.
Remember. Okay, so Bessie, right? And then library. And also, you know what? This the student athlete support,
mm-hmm.
the practice football field next to, you have to get in there, and it's a very special place. And also there's also a business,
mm-hmm.
How do you call that? How still like MC?
Road, right?
In a business building, and they were saying that it's a different funding source. And I never worked at that location, but I know a few people are working in that location. But I have been working at the Bessie Library and the student athlete, that place. That's about it. I know you guys had been expanding, but back then that was that four places I remember.
Do you remember those same ones, Robin?
Yep, those were the four. I think I worked in the business one. I feel like I did maybe like only like once or twice. I don't know if I was just like subbing for someone or what, but
yeah, that's usually how that happens. Yeah.
Great. So we'll just move right along. So to our next question. So what services did the center offer while you were there? So for example, writing groups, face-to-face appointments, walk-ins, etc.
We had this, I mean, workshops, right? Classroom presentation workshop, and there's some, yeah, sometimes we have some group that come to campus. I remember there was a nursing program in the summer, and they invite us for a workshop, presentation, that kind of, you know, event. We are very mobile and very good at responding to those kind of requests. One particular thing was the online thing at that time. We did a Second Life. We used Second Life. Robin, did you do that?
No, I remember. No, I remember so much talk about Second Life, but I did not.
You probably escaped that just in time. Yeah, that was.
Did it switch from Second Life to something else, or was it only Second Life while you were there?
Because it got to the point that they decided if you give people different options, no one's going to use Second Life. So there was a period of time that we just only Second Life. Everybody has their avatar. And everybody needs to read Diana's paper about, you know, how great Second Life is. And I actually created a video, promotional video. Yeah, I think that's something that was most memorable, very special. Other than that, I think the service was very typical. Yeah, I mean, you know, offered to the client. Internally, there's a lot of activity, training, opportunities. Yeah.
I remember before Second Life, I know we used to do phone sessions. Is that not done anymore?
Is that not an option anymore?
It is not, and that's so interesting.
Oh. Wow. Are we that old?
I know. I mean, about that.
Because I have a few phone consultations that was very successful. I helped a student finishing his dissertation on the phone and then defense, because he got a job. He started his job in Indiana, and then he needs to finish his final writing, final draft, and before he can defend it. And so that phone interview was a very special experience for me.
What was the setup of the phone consultation process like? Like, did everybody do it on their own phones? The writing center had phones? How was it?
There was a phone, you know, you can use.
Like an office, right?
Yeah.
I think we didn't do it often, right? Because I feel like I only did it like once, maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
it's not very often. Most people don't, you know, if they have different options, they don't do phone. But for some people, it's just more convenient. Just pick up the phone and talk. Yeah.
So face-to-face was probably still the most prevalent modality for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is exciting. You were the first person to mention phone session. So that's great. I know. I love it. We've got a big note now.
Hey, if you get somebody to do a dissertation on the phone, I feel like we can do any form of consulting on the phone. Maybe this is a way forward. So.
And this is before Google Drive too, because in my current center, right, that's what we use when we do phone. But this is before. I guess did they email the draft?
Email. It's just email and then open the document and talk on the phone.
Yeah.
It's great because we're now like revisiting some of these options during these times, right? And different ways that we can connect with community members, both on campus, but also in our community writing center. And so I'm having conversations now about phone sessions, and it's been a decade later, right? Maybe we are perhaps cycling back to, you know, technology that we had used, not to distract us from the interview, but it's interesting to see those cycles, right? Well, great. Well, that is the first section. Those are our kind of context category questions. In the next section, I will also facilitate here. This is the gathering stories questions. And so the first one, and Robin, if you'd like to answer first, that would be great. When you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history, what comes to mind? For example, what do you think, like, significant moments or achievements or any outreach programs? Or I'll just back up. When you think of the Writing Center at MSU and its history, what comes to your mind?
I think for me, like, one of the big pieces that I still think about, I guess, is like the digital, you know, like working with students on, you know, not just like traditional writing on a page, right? But working with students on like, you know, like presentations or videos or whatever they were making. I feel like that was a really big, I feel like that was unusual when we were doing it. And I feel like with my tutors now, I'm still like, come on, guys, you can do it. And like trying to get them, you know, comfortable with it and trying to get other, you know, get students to understand like, yes, you know, we can help with these sorts of things too. And so I think that's one piece. I also, the other piece that I always think about that again, that I'm like, why can't we do this at my school too, is like working with faculty, you know, faculty seeing that the Writing Center, you know, really, really, like, we all need feedback on writing, you know. And I mean, I remember as a grad student, a faculty member came in and asked for feedback on like, I don't know what it was, but I was like terrified, you know, but he was very, you know, he was a good person to work with, and it was really helpful. And so that's another piece that I always think of as like, I want to make that happen on my campus too.
Thank you. Yeah, and Scott, to you, what do you think of when you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history? What comes to mind?
It's kind of hard to. The major event. I mean, when we think about history, I would be thinking about some sort of major event, but I couldn't really remember any sort of major, big event or anything, but. So it's nothing like historic or anything that I would remember, but the impression about Writing Center and CLU, So MSU Writing Center is like, the impression is it's a powerhouse, you know, generating a lot of very excellent tutors and graduate students, undergraduate students, and well represented in the field of conferences. And I feel the impression about MSU Writing Center is it has this kind of leadership role in the field. And when people talk about MSU Writing Center, they are all impressed. Like, oh, what are you from MSU? And they want to know this and that. They want to know if you know this person, that person. They want to know how that project was started. That kind of overall impressions. And I was thinking about what Ryan was saying about working with faculty. And I remember, you know, the idea of creating a culture of writing on campus that we kind of took it for granted at MSU. We kind of course, that's what we do at the Writing Center. That's part of our responsibility. We continue to initiate new idea and create different kind of opportunity of engagement for students to see themselves as writers or for people to think about writing differently. That entire the culture of writing and how you can actually get faculty members to the Writing Center and feel comfortable getting feedback from peer tutors, not their peer tutors, but students' peer tutors. So it's not something that you can easily achieve anywhere else. And so I just feel that MSU Writing Center just continue to inspire over the years, not just to us who, you know, are associated with the school, but also the people in the field. Even for the Second Life project, I remember at that time, it was really just, you know, we kind of just see ourselves a leader in technology in the writing center field. So it's a very brave and move, and people wouldn't do that, but MSU can do it. So that's kind of my impression. But if you think about history, I feel that kind of mentoring relationship across kind of generation, that is something I admire a lot. The continuation of the shared philosophy, shared ambition. Other than that, this next question you have, the favorite MSU Writing Center story. What's your favorite story, Robin?
I don't know. I guess other things I remember is coffee. And I remember what we used to drink was like, it was like our budget mocha. So it was like, you know, the Writing Center coffee with the hot cocoa mix. And I even remember dumping the coffee at the end of the day in the toilet. These are the things I remember. Right. I don't know. I have my favorite story.
Okay, budget. Was it a budget latte?
Yeah, or mocha. Yes. Because the hot cocoa, you know, the Swiss Miss packet or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Those in the closing, do they do in the closing, right? It's, you know, at the end of shift, at the end, that's the last shift, you need to do the clothing and you need to do clean up. I know, I remember, because when I was there, they were saying, Trixie didn't let the janitor come in to the center to do the cleaning. So we kind of locked the door, and we don't want other people to come in. And so our staff need to do the cleaning ourselves on a daily basis. So, but other than that, other classroom in the building, the janitor would take care of that, but not the writing center. I try to remember any sort of story. I would say it's more about personal experience going to conference. Those are a lot of good memory and experience, but in terms of writing center, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a lot of interesting experience, but I don't even know how that would, you know, be some sort of my favorite story. I remember Mary was coordinating a graduate writing group. And, you know, she's very conscientious. And she's like, she is not very patient if you are not doing your job. But people have different perception about how job is being done or how you do your job. So there was some sort of disagreement. And this guy, Walt, he was also from linguistics. And Walt is the guy, he just kind of, Merrily would prepare all the procedure and protocol in detail, and Walt would just, okay, I got it. And then he would just go on tangent and do his song. And then they finally get to the point that they just, Merrily couldn't take it anymore. So they confront. Merrily confront Walt. And they kind of just, so what Trixie did was she put both of them in her office and closed the door. And they were just yelling at each other. And we can all kind of hear that, and when we are doing our consultation, but we can hear those two people are going crazy inside. And that's what Trixie did. You kind of just figure out you two. And they kind of studied it all out. And mostly just Merrily. She's, you know, but after that we just continue to work on that project. And at that time she was in charge of developing this graduate writing group program. she kind of wants to formalize it, and so and and so that's something that I keep on remembering whenever I have some sort of, not that much, but some little a little bit of conflict between, you know, among my staff, my staff, our undergraduate student. I will remember that that, you know, sometimes just let it all out, and then and but still believe that, like, you know, they can continue on. I don't know. I did so many things that so many other things at the center at MSU that I remember that just continue to go back to me when I have some similar experience. I don't know. What else do you have, Robin?
Yeah, that's great. And more stories will come up as we go, I'm sure. The next question and the last question, better for this part, is during your time at the center, did any significant world, political, cultural, or university events occur, right? We're trying to think about our writing center's history, not in a vacuum, but very much as part of these social, cultural, economic structures within which we are implicated. So any significant events, social, cultural, political, university, come to mind?
I was trying to think. I mean, I think Hurricane Katrina happened while I was working there at Virginia Tech, and then Obama was elected also. The order of that is probably wrong, I'm not sure. But I don't remember, I don't remember, you know, if it was, you know, like if we talked about things or anything like that at the center. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or what.
Well, for me, I cannot think of any, you know, significant world event or university-wise, campus-wise. I mean, there's always some, you know, big thing that happened at MSU, but in the center, just, I don't remember anything particular we responded but in a particular way. There might be something, but I just cannot remember right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it will come back when we talk more.
Sure, that's okay. Thank you. The next section is on organizational culture. Sharika, do you want to facilitate this?
Yeah, for sure. I'm already learning so much, so I'm excited to hear what I'll learn in this segment here. The next set of questions, like Grace said, is organizational culture. The first question is, what was one key value or practice that has been or was a constant at the Writing Center? So, like, one key value or practice that was constant.
Go ahead.
I had notes for the other part, and then I think I didn't get down to this part, these questions.
Well, Scott, do you want to lead?
I would say mentorship and professional development for staff. I feel, if there's one key value or practice, I feel it has been very obvious, at least to me, that the leadership, you know, at that time, Trixie was in Dyna, they were very genuinely, they believe in our tutors and our consultants, and they want us to be successful, not just being a, you know, competent consultant, but also thinking, you know, further down the line, professional development career. And that mentorship has been very supportive, positive. And that trickling down to how everybody treats each other, like graduate student and undergraduate student, more senior grad student treat new grad student and same, you know, undergraduate student and sub, you know, mentor younger junior consultant. That just that will be the key value.
And that's definitely still, I think, actively present in the center now for sure. So that's something I can relate to you with on Scott. Robin, for you, maybe if not one key value or practice from the center, is there any one kind of key value or practice you felt you maintained as a consultant that was kind of supportive for you or that you were able to have while in the space?
You know, I was thinking, I think, I'm not sure when exactly Trixie started, but I think that shift from Dave to Trixie, I think that was hard for a lot of people, you know. I mean, this is different, you know, because I feel like I faced the same thing when I started as tutor coordinator. You know, it's hard to work with the people who were there before. And then after a while, I'm like, hey, good, I have all these new people, the ones I hired. So I think, I don't know, I guess I feel like, you know, there were certain things that, like, I didn't see, like, in the way that Scott did, I guess, because it was, like, when Trixie was new and just kind of getting things started off. But,
that's a very particular, like, vantage point, right? So many people we've spoken to are before Trixie, pre-Trixie or after Trixie, right? So you were there right during that transition. For us, from Dave Sheridan was the intern, right? And then
I guess when I started, he was like, maybe he was on his way out, but he would just hang out, or Trixie had started. I don't know, but it was just, I just remember, you know, I mean, students were just used to how Dave did things, and so they're like, wait, what? It's different now? Like, who's this new person? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So considering that you both have some different perspectives around that, what would you describe, I guess, as the quality of or spirit of the center?
I just, you know, I mean, I just remember it being very, very open too. Like, I just remember a lot of, like, the social stuff. You know, I remember us hanging around in the little snack table, and you know, people just sharing about what they were learning in class or whatever, and you know, and people just giving each other a hard time and playing around, and I don't know, that's the stuff I remember, I guess.
Did you have anything to add on to that, Scott?
You mean the quality and spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what Robin was talking about, you know, how pre-Trixie, and I did remember the difference. I did remember I have conversation with Diana, because I started at a different time. Diana, the same year Diana started, and I remember we have some conversation about how that transition was not easy, and then and I remember Diana was saying, what can we do? Do we just fire everybody and start over? And so at that time, I didn't really know what that meant, but now I know, okay, yeah. So that transition was hard. And so I feel they kind of have the grounding kind of built for more active work. Maybe just about the time Robin left, because I remember my last year, you know, 2009-10, that was the year that had a lot of new ideas, new initiatives, and I was the one who benefited from that. So, to me, I just feel the quality and the spirit of the center during my time. I began feeling that it's a lot of inspiration, just make you feel this is exciting to work here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so I think you'll both maybe have something for this based on what you shared already about transitions, but can you talk a little bit about the center's approach to hiring and or onboarding and training?
You want to talk about it, Robin?
Okay, so for me, like, I had a little bit of tutoring experience in, like, undergrad and when I was at my master's. And so when I started my PhD program at Michigan State, right, it was kind of like, I guess the default was that you know, you'd be a TA and you teach, like, you know, the RAP 1004 or whatever. And so I was like, hey, great. Like, I'm comfortable with tutoring. I'm comfortable doing the one-on-one. So I'm going to do the classroom stuff and, you know, kind of get. And then one year, the residential college in the arts and humanities opened. And they had, like, this other opportunity. I think it was, like, some kind of fellow thing or whatever. So, like, mm-hmm. I applied for that, and I got it. And I was like, hey, great. I'm going to do this instead of doing the TA. And then I found out that was, like, only quarter time. So I was like, oh, my gosh. I had already told them, oh, I don't need my assistantship. So then I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, what am I going to do? And so luckily I was able to pick up the – so that's how I ended up in the writing center. I was able to pick that up. And I was so grateful. And so, but I don't know, like, if there was a more traditional hiring and onboarding and training process, because mine's, I think, was kind of like emergency and last minute. I do remember the training. I think we used to do meetings on like Friday afternoons. I remember a lot of stuff being led by students, which sometimes worked better than others.
Still true.
Yes. And I remember, I think I remember the undergraduates being in a class, you know, a training class, but I didn't know too much about that. I just kind of knew what was going on.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can tell more about those process. So my experience is also different. I was not at RECOM program. I was in linguistics. I focused on second language writing. I'm trying to describe how I get into Writing Center. And I was interested in different kind of pedagogies. So I ended up, you know, having this opportunity to go to the Summer Institute, 2008 at Wisconsin Madison. And before I went there, my only experience is I went to the Writing Center to have a consultation. And I still remember the tutor, the consultant Sally. She worked with me, and I just felt that was interesting. And then I went to the Summer Institute, I came back, and then I met Diana there, and she invited me to work at the Writing Center. At that time, I had my assistantship from Second Language Acquisitions, Second Language Studies program. And so I only work part-time, but I was an international student, so you can't really work part-time. So they just work out some sort of project time for me to work in the center. And then after that, I came to the point that I really wanted to spend more time in the Writing Center. And I talked to Trixie, and Trixie told me that there's no assistantship available. But the next semester, she offered me assistantship. And one part of the reason I remember the conversation I had with them, they were saying they would like to recruit more diverse group of tutors and consultants they have, so international students, non-native speaker, you know, Asian. This is all something they welcome. And I had that experience with Diana at the Summer Institute, so she felt more comfortable just inviting me over. And I remember that was the time, 2008, I think that was when Meredy and Elena, they started. And they immediately started with the assistantship at the Writing Center as a graduate consultant, because they all have the Writing Center experience earlier on before. So we have this orientation on Saturday. So she asked me if I would go. I said, okay, I can go. And then Saturday, and she said, okay, we will meet at noon. She said 9 o'clock, no, Saturday at 9. I thought she said Saturday at noon. So I was like, okay, I can make it, you know, noon. That would be okay. That would be okay for me. I can make it to noon. But and then I see the email, it said 9. I never got up, you know, at 9 before this first Saturday. And Trixie has this kind of silent accent, I guess.
Alex, when I saw you say noon, and it turned out to be nine, but that orientation was the time I met Trix, Melly and Elena, and we kind of just have this very positive experience and together to begin with. And so, and then that same year, they also recruit another international student. And so that's kind of my imprint that they were, to me, you know, and that they make it very clear to me that they want to diversify their staff. And for undergraduate students, so graduate students, they don't really have a lot of training. They don't have time for training, except the orientation and some sort of weekly staff meeting. But for undergraduate students, there was a class, 395, WRA 395, and Trixie was teaching that class. And then Trixie and then Diana was teaching that class. And then Diana invited me to co-teach that class when she was teaching the class for a second time. And then when we were co-teaching, Diana she was very sick for the entire semester. And she had to go through operation and stay home like for like 3 months. So basically I was teaching that class. but I have a lot of support, and that was a very strong group of undergrad students, so that was not difficult. And then after that, Trixie let me teach that class. So that process for me was very significant, and I was able to see the entire curriculum and how they prepare, how they recruit students and prepare them, and what kind of scholarship are included in the curriculum. And then after me, I think Merely teach that class as well. So I just feel that's why I was saying, you know, in the year when they, you know, things are falling into place for their structure, they begin doing a lot of very systematic kind of training and recruitment, and they expanded quickly from there. So yeah, I thought that was very intentional, and they make it very clear at the recruitment, at staff meeting, the value of diversity in the center was very clear. Yeah.
That's cool. I'm so glad to hear there was those efforts to hire international students as consultants, because I remember we used to work with a lot of international students, and mm-hmm. sometimes they would ask. I specifically remember one of them asking, you know, one of the undergraduate consultants, like, you know, how can she expand her vocabulary or something, and then. You know, some of the, I felt like some of the, you know, some tutors they're the strong students. Sometimes they're a little bit cocky and, mm-hmm. You know, and so just the way that he responded, and I was like, that sticks in my head as like, I was like, that's not going to help her. And like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, and I have that, you know, in the center, in the MSU center, it's a big space, open space, we can all kind of hear how other people are, you know, they're like, oh God, don't say that. But I think that's part of the, I can see the value, just, you know, it goes back to what I described, you know, I feel their philosophy is they really just let you do it, sometimes at the expense of, you know, not very successful or very effective outcomes, but that kind of actually doing it and then getting feedback was something I found very, very essential, very critical. And being a supervisor, you know, being able to allow your staff to just be themselves and try and do it and then provide more relevant feedback. That is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes just painful to watch. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you both. I should have started with asking if you wanted to go by Drs. Chu and Tosaka, but I used the first name, so sorry about that.
Oh, no, I
think there was only 10 minutes left in the interview session, so I wanted to check in with everybody and see where you all might be with this and if there's questions you didn't get to answer that you wanted to answer or things you wanted to share, and then let Nick go into his section of the questions. So are there things that we didn't get to that you wanted to answer? I know, Robin, you said you had a sheet of some responses.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll send it to Nick then. To your
All right. So just to, I guess I can wrap up some of these in a little bit of a quicker fashion. So I know we kind of talked about this, about consultations and stuff, but when you worked in the Writing Center, how did you schedule appointments? Was it WC Online at that time, or?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you remember receiving or ever being directed to a handbook when you were hired?
I don't think so.
I think this is a trick question.
So to clarify, this whole project came from a realization we had last summer with a small group of our graduate coordinators at our retreat that the handbook situation at our writing center was severely lacking. Although we had some versions of it, they were not clear or well organized or even distributed to the people in the writing center. And so this project of interviewing people was born from our revamping of the handbook. So that's why that's in there. And it's good to know that what hopefully we're going to be having published in August will be the first printed MSU Writing Center handbook. So I'm not sure the next one is as important. So in our last couple minutes, I want to ask, is there anything else that you wanted to share about the history of the Writing Center? Anything at all that you remember? Another story, a positive, negative, anything about someone else that you worked with that you remember? We are not trying to sugarcoat our history.
Well, I can respond to the question about a handbook. I did not remember I have any sort of handbook. Interestingly, I work at the Writing Center as graduate consultant in my last 2 years in my PhD, and then I did my dissertation there. And then after that, I started teaching at REC, first year writing program, REC. And so I continue to interact with Trixie about teaching about, you know, recent work. And so I got all these different kind of documents and everything, but I don't recall there was a time we were handed a handbook, but we do have some of the different documents. And I never seen a handbook, MSU Writing Center handbook, until when I started my position. And I was thinking, hey, do we have some sort of handbook? So I need a handbook to know how I run a writing center. And then I asked Trixie, and she was like, we do have a handbook. And she sent me a file. And it was like, it's a real handbook. And I'm like, where was this before? Was it just created after I left? Because I left, 2010, I started my writing center directorship at 2013. So maybe over the 3 years, something happened. I don't know. So it's about those kind of logistic critical questions. So I did, refer back to them and ask for a lot of materials from then. I don't know when exactly they were created, but when I was there, it was not that organized. But sometimes you come across a very organized graduate student. I remember at that time, this girl, Tiffany, she was a business major, I remember. Yeah. She was super organized. And if you got assigned to do a presentation tomorrow, you have the entire packet in your mailbox the night before. So that was my impression. I thought, wow, people at the Writing Center just amazing. But that's not really all the case all the time. Yeah, the schedule, I remember nobody wanted to do the schedule, you know. And it was just... All right, it's just painful to try to do this. And I remember there was a grad student who was assigned to do that. And I remember he was looking at this entire spreadsheet, and he kind of printed out a table together and this long. And he kept kind of mumbling to himself. He's saying, I believe this is going to be some sort of skills I can use later in my career. Kind of trying to talk himself into his process. And Dinah did not want to do it. Trixie did not want to talk about it. Dinah wanted to do it. And they just assigned to some graduate student for their professional development opportunity.
Really quick on that, Robin, do you know, was it WC Online your first year there, or did it show up when Trixie showed up? We're just trying to make sure.
No, I think it was there. I think it was there the whole time, as far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah. When I started, it was there, and I remember they were complaining about the company not being very responsive, but over the years they improved so much. Yeah.
I did want to demystify the handbook emergence. I have been told Elena created the first handbook. I think that's the first that we can trace to Elena. So that is one of our questions for her. So might very well have just emerged
right during that year. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share? I love the story about the schedule. Nick has been our scheduler for a long time, so we made our last schedule, our last full-scale schedule, he and I made together over, it seems like, about 400 hours, but it is time-intensive.
I'm very grateful for your work, Nick.
It's going to be a very special skills that you can use later in your career. Yeah.
It's quite a feat when you do it for this writing center, when it has, you know, all the different locations and the online and everything like that. And I will say that for summer, or when we switched over to just online due to the pandemic, it was a weird transition at first, but then it was like, oh, well, this is just one schedule now. I'm not trying to have to figure out how people fit across 10 different locations. But yeah, I can commiserate with the printing it and looking at everything, although I've never printed it. I just do it on my computer.
What is the one piece of advice your now self would give your then Writing Center self for working in the space?
Mm-hmm. Robin, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, I mean, especially from hearing what Scott said, but I think this is something that's been bubbling up for me for a while. Like, I think, you know, I think I should have made myself available for more of those mentorship opportunities. Like I don't know, did we have graduate coordinators when?
No, it was created. Yeah, it was kind of slowly. It was slowly initiated, created. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I just yeah, I think there was, you know, there was more I could have learned, and from working more closely with folks and like that.
Yeah, I feel I was very lucky. I have different kind of situation when I joined the Writing Center, because I had my own struggle with my, you know, linguistic faculty, and Writing Center became a place that I found all the love and support. And the people were just interesting, you know. You have this very interesting bunch of people there. I remember I only saw you, Robin, at that, you know, that round table when you guys were, yeah, you know, and I only saw you there, and I don't even remember if we ever really had any sort of conversation. But to me, as an international student, and that was a very eye-opening, you know, in many aspects, and just for me to to connect, to get to know people, undergrad student, graduate student, and they are not judgmental like linguistics, you know, jerks. And I just feel so supported, and all the opportunities provided to me was amazing. That's why I changed my topic. I did writing center research. I kind of focused on by the time I on market, I got a lot of support, amazing support from the people there. You know, all the practice interview, all these kind of document and the application material, all the support letters of recommendation. I keep on remembering. I keep holding on to my own experience there. So I try to replicate the experience for my students in my own center now. But again, it's not easy. It's something easy that you can recreate in somewhere else. It takes a whole team, or maybe a history or whatever, to make that happen. Yeah. So I did tell Trixie that I finally realized that my MSU Writing Center was actually the source of frustration to me, because I wanted to be them. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to do something that you guys are doing. And the more I want to do that, the more I feel inspired to do that, the more I feel frustrated by the reality I have here and outside MSU. So, yeah.
Thank you. Anyone, any suggestions of someone else we should reach out to or talk to?
I think Robin want to say something.
Yeah, Robin, did you have a follow-up on Scout Channel?
Say something.
Oh, no, I just think that's sad. But, I mean, I totally know what you mean that, you know, MSU's. I mean, but I don't know if it's also like, you know, it's grad school, like magical. I mean, when you look back, it's magical and wonderful.
Right. Yeah. It was tough. Every day it was very extremely busy, and there's always some sort of conflict. I cannot imagine how you can direct a center that big. I just could not imagine. My center is like 7 students. I was like, you know, yeah. And how can you like have like 100 plus consultants across the campus? And I don't know. And I'm not trying to do that. No. Yeah.
That might be why our the coordinator model came to be, right? And the 12 to 14 coordinators we have now do so much for the center. I don't think it could operate with its 10 plus locations and over 100 consultants if we didn't have those coordinators in place.
Yeah.
And there's 3 more here. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, welcome.
I was trying to think of names. I don't know. Are you folks are talking to undergraduates and grad students or folks?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You folks already have Latoya Falk.
Do we have Latoya?
Latoya.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm muted. Do you know how to spell her last name?
It's F-A-U-L-K. Here, I can put it in the chat. Yeah.
F-A-U-L-K.
Like this, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Let's see.
Have you... Because I remember one of the most interesting guy I remember from the time I was there was this undergraduate student, John Lochner. Have you, is this name on your list?
Mm-mm.
He will be a very interesting person to speak to. He invented this game night, staff game night. And so so we kind of used to get together and play ball games and stuff. And he was very involved. John Lochner,
I'm making a note about game night to ask him about game night.
Yeah, I was not big, but it was popular among undergraduate students. Yeah. And they bring in the popcorn poppers and stuff. Yeah.
Do you remember that Greek guy, Costa? Remember that guy? You guys have him? I don't know what his last name is, though. I don't know if that's even his... I think there's a nickname. Do you know him? No, Scott.
No, no.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like a digital... He did digital stuff, I think.
Wait.
Costa, like this, or like this. I don't know. I don't know how his name is.
We will make it. We'll make it known and look at. And yeah. Usually on Facebook, more often than not, is where I find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you two, this has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed this. I'm hoping you all have as well.
It's fun. Yeah. It's always fun.
Good to have
you. I love hearing about this period, this kind of transitional period. I think this is, and I think all, we've got a series of interviews lined up. A lot of people I think you'll overlap with, Elena and Marilee and Ben and Dave Sheridan. And so I feel like we're going to get this next group is kind of all from that time period. So I'm excited to talk to all of them. I had never heard the word Second Life before this morning when someone mentioned them to me. And then you brought them up and I said, Second Life stuff. So
it's on WC Online.
Art like stars.
If you go way back, it shows online in parentheses Second Life.
What's twaddle?
That's what it became after Twiddla.
Became
right, after. Right, yeah. That's a Twiddla, yeah. Okay.
Well, I've got some questions for Diana now.
We found the book too, by the way. It was like a book that she wrote with several articles about Second Life.
Everybody had to read that book.
Yeah. I did some research during our interview.
Oh. Don't tell her anything I said, okay? I was trying to be very supportive during that time when she was just, doing that. I was like, oh, God.
You said just great things about it, actually, that MSU, we can try things out like that.
And
is this going to be the new way to do online, instruction? And it's exciting. I feel like we still do that, right? Trixie always signs on for a pilot.
The funny thing is, a few years after, and I went to a conference and somebody was talking about Second Life for online consultation. And they were saying, look at what MSU was doing. So they are inspired by what, we're doing at MSU, but how miserable people were. I kind of feel guilty, Like, oh my God, you're gonna hate that. I remember that she was from Florida, Jennifer something. Yeah, they were talking about that, and yeah. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, everything you're doing at MS, you can got spread out in the field, and people would get inspired, and so yeah.
Thank you both for all the stuff you shared. This is definitely positive and encouraging, and it's good to see people that were in the Writing Center space where we're so fortunate and blessed to work now in different spaces, and what you've taken from there and like how you're building on that and reflecting on that. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
If you think of anyone else we should speak with or any other stories that if we end this Zoom call and then you think this is the story, you're always welcome to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you again. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you at conferences if and when we have conferences again.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Thank you both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Meeting you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.